As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate are you? You call on such lost creatures to defend you.
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea. Bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more. Like the battles that we never could.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Bruffett. How are we doing today, Chris?
Jesse, I'm not going to lie, I'm terrified today. I'm scared.
Terrified. We're doing a big character.
It's a big character. It's a lot of responsibility. This is a character that is insanely beloved across the world. Let's not lie about this. He is the most popular comic book character that has been created in the last 40 years.
Good call out there.
He just is.
Because the people more popular than him were created further
60s,
back.
60s, 70s, 80, you know, and he's 89.
Yeah.
You know, and it's none other than Slade Wilson, Deathstroke that we're talking about today, guys. Oh, sorry. Wade Wilson, Deadpool. My bad.
That's right. He is really big too. And to piggyback off of that statement, Chris, he's really big in this form where we deep dive comics and kind of the lore and, you know, the things we might know and people might know. But then he's massive in the general public.
Pop culture
as well.
Figure.
Yeah, he's a pop culture figure, especially with Ryan Reynolds at the helm now.
Well, you know, and that all started in the early 2000s. Deadpool saw the internet, you know? We can thank the internet for Deadpool here, as he is the latest, well, not the latest, he was at the time, the latest of the fourth wall breaking characters from Marvel. Started very lightly, but whenever it gets pretty heavy in early 2000s, you know, 99 to 2003-ish, he sees this insane jump in popularity, and that's when you're going to start seeing Deadpool backpacks, 50 different shirts about tacos.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff at Hot Topic, honestly.
Hot Topic kind of paved the way.
100%. And that,
for everyone else,
that just launches him, the character, into pop culture stardom, you know, and it's a very marketable character with the very easy symbol, you know, the eyes and the two sides are black and then the red line through the middle, and iconic character design because Deathstroke's one of the best character designs ever. And then Deadpool's just a ripoff. As far as character design, just the costume, things like that. He's obviously written completely different and developed into a completely different and to some far more interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Otherwise, man, how are you? I'm excited about Depticon.
Very excited about Depticon. You guys are listening to this right before we leave, which is great. So this is our last little bit before we're going to be on that rotation of work. There's going to be so much to talk about in a good way. There's going to be so much to discuss, talk about, analyze from all fronts, because now, as of last year, AMG has declared Adepticon and Gen Con, they're basically their major reveal season and their major announcements to the public season.
They really planted their flag at Adepticon last year.
So let's pretend that that was all we had with Adepticon. That would be plenty, right? But then, of course, we have all these side events and, of course, the major competitive events to look at and analyze and understand and to enjoy all the data that's going to be parsed from the event after that.
Yeah.
This and LVO are the two premier North American events every year, and they're pretty close together. Irony.
Yeah, it's a little awkward how close they are together, but one marks the end of the MCP year and one marks the beginning. So it's fine.
Well said there. Yeah, it is fine. It is a cool way to, you can't think of them like close together through the sense of Well, one just happened. I'm going to another one. As Chris said, one is the end, one's the beginning. And we'll see what this beginning leads us into. You know, LVO was the end of maybe some archetypes that were doing really well, possibly. Some erratas came down on our friend Frank Castle in his Ghost Rider persona. So now we'll see what happens there. But I'm actually more excited about the side events and just kind of hanging out with people and just like seeing what happens, you know? Because unfortunately, yeah. Chris and I didn't get into very many MCP events at all.
Still okay. Working on it, hoping for some things to open up. But that's okay. I will be around. I'm hopefully going to have some mics and a laptop with me. And you want to sit, hang out, and talk? Let's talk. If we can get all the equipment going. So this is not a guarantee.
No, it is travel and equipment and logistics and all this stuff. But figuring all that out, trying to. And even if none of that happens, I mean,
yeah, I'll have some teams with me. Let's play some games.
Yep. That league is going to be so much fun, and playing that MCP league and that Shatterpoint league where it's just like, I'm just going to pick up games and hopefully meet some people, you know? So really looking forward to that. And we're excited. This is the calm before the storm, and we'll pick up with you guys very soon. But today we got to talk about Deadpool.
But first, let's take care of some business. Fury's Finest is supported by Mr. Laser. Go to mr-laser.square.site for all of your Marvel Crisis Protocol needs, and do not forget to use the discount code FURY5 at checkout for a cool 5% off your order.
Absolutely. And also, probably by the time you're hearing this or right after this episode, Mr. Laser is going to have up all these new pre-orders for these upcoming boxes and all these things. So definitely get your orders in now and use our code FURY5. Let him know we sent you. Additionally, Fury's Finest is supported by iWarGame. iWarGame makes the best marked mats for MCP in the business, and we highly recommend checking them out and using their products, because we do every single time we get together on MCP tournament gatherings. Go to iWarGame.net, use our code FFPODCAST to get 10% off all of your play mats.
And of course, we always have to thank our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful patrons. The reason the show's still going, baby. And this week, we have a very special shout out to a Bob Bob. Thanks, Bob.
Perfect timing with our Deadpool.
It's great.
Bob adjacent discussion, all this stuff. So thank you, Bob. And of course, we have to thank our Avenger producer, Sean, actively keeping the lights on the show. And
thank you, Sean.
Helping us do stuff like go to Adepticon, right? So you guys mean a lot. And yeah, the Patreon is the most direct way you can support us and get more out of our show for the year, because frankly, you guys are the ones that help us get to these events and stuff. And we'd like to do more this year. And so time will tell. So we really appreciate it.
I think we'll be able to do more this year.
I hope so. All right, Chris, let's get right into Deadpool lore.
Oh man. So Jesse, who is Deadpool? That's a tough question. Deadpool is Wade Wilson, the merc with the mouth. You all know him. Most of you probably love him. Some of you don't. A little polarizing, it seems, but Deadpool was brought to us, of course, by Rob Liefeld and Fabian Nicieza. And he was originally brought in as supposed to be a reoccurring villain in X-Force for Cable, who was another of Rob Liefeld's creations. And he'd go on to say that in creating these two characters and a couple others as well, that he wasn't really allowed to have Wolverine. He wasn't allowed to have Spider-Man. So he made him. He just made, he wasn't allowed to have these characters that he wanted. So he made kind of different versions of them. And Deadpool is very much a Wolverine, Spider-Man-esque kind of guy. We've got the mouth of Spider-Man, the quips, the never shutting up, especially early on. He's going to be a lot closer to Peter than he is going to be breaking the fourth wall and being zany and random and all these things that Deadpool kind of became, kind of grew into. At the very beginning, he's a lot more just kind of a Peter clone. Of course, he's got swords and a gun, and he's very bad. He's a very, very bad dude. Peter is not. But, you know, that's all part of the wonderful 90s melange of just extreme. I mean, you got to think about it, right? 89, that's the peak of Hulkamania, baby. It's big time. Pro wrestling's big. Boxing is massive at this time. Extreme sports are starting to come to the foreground. The economy is booming. So everyone's just kind of getting hobbies because they got extra money. And a lot of these hobbies tend to revolve around this being very, very tough and being very, very cool and being extreme and beating up everyone and showing no remorse. And Deadpool is very much a product of this time. And, you know, Rob Liefeld's very, especially at this time, into this kind of stuff. He's what, in his mid-20s? He's super into this kind of stuff. So it's got a lot of this tinge to it, which is part of the reason I have shown a little apprehension towards the old Deadpool. And we'll get into some of that with his history. But first, let's discuss his superpowers. Deadpool was given a healing factor by Weapon X. This healing factor is based on Wolverine's. I mean, guys, it's not these comparisons are not hard to draw. Okay. They're beating you over the head. I promise. So when I say the Spider-Man and Wolverine stuff, it is there. It's not, there's no stretching to have to come to these conclusions. It is pretty obvious. So this is one of the more obvious parts. He's literally given Wolverine's healing factor. Sometimes it's better than Wolverine's. Sometimes it's not. It has a little more to do with Deadpool's, who's writing him, and his state of mind. He can survive almost anything if he's feeling good that day and in a good mood. The man has been decapitated. All you have to do is put his head back on his, realign the head, and it will all heal back up and he'll be fine. In a non-canon event, in Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, which is actually a very, very fun read, the Hulk literally smashes his head and it grows back. But that's, once again, that is non-canon.
The irony is some people have theories that's the new basis of Deadpool 3, that story.
You know, and it might be.
Or at least the spark of the plot, right? The concept.
It would kind of make sense with where the MCU is, right? And trying to bring in all of these other... They're going to try to do the all new, all different, the convergence thing, right? And
yeah, bring the merging of the two together, companies,
the
characters.
Yeah, Secret Wars 2, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and Deadpool seems like a decent character to have as the kind of keystone of all of that, especially since he's been written into the original Secret Wars as a background character, you know, after the fact. He's been written into a lot of just background stuff. Supposedly, this you see it without Deadpool. 30 years later, you get a comic where Deadpool's in the background doing all of these things, which I'm going to leave most of that out of our history discussion today because I don't know. That stuff doesn't feel super important to me. But it is there, and it can spark some pretty interesting trivia questions. Deadpool is also a fairly skilled hand-to-hand combatant. He's got, of course, he's got his katanas. He's always got some guns. He's always got some explosives. At times, he will have various levels of teleportation devices, some more effective than others. And, you know, they get broken a lot and zany things happen. He speaks German, Spanish, Japanese, and fluent in ASL as well as English. So that's pretty cool. And one of the big things, of course, Deadpool is aware that he is a fictional character. He breaks the fourth wall often, and with that comes some advantages in fights. He knows what's going on. He understands the context outside of the immediate picture. So that is, I mean, honestly, it's part of his power set. And of course, as I said earlier, he is created by Fabian Nicieza and Rob Liefeld. He first appears in New Mutants 98, December of 1990. And as I said before, he is intended to be a reoccurring villain for Cable. And his first couple of appearances are kind of just kind of vibing it out, seeing if he's going to be popular, seeing how the character develops, where it goes. And obviously, it went well. All right. So let's get into this history. I'm going to touch on some of the major points here. As I've said this in other episodes before, but I'm going to have to boil this down a lot. Deadpool has been in about every comic book published at some point since about 1999. He's been involved in almost every story anyone's ever written or ever thought about since about 1999. It's a lot like Wolverine in the 90s and 2000s. Marvel literally could not publish anything without putting Wolverine in it. They did the same and are doing the same with Deadpool. So naturally, I've only got one segment on this show. I can't do four episodes on Deadpool's history. So we're going to have to boilerplate it, and we're going to boil it down and really talk about who he is and kind of the phases of Deadpool. When Deadpool is given to us in 89 in New Mutants 98, he is an assassin. He has no moral compass, no empathy. He is quipping a lot like Spider-Man, and he is not breaking the fourth wall yet. He will lightly do that in some later appearances, and then it will go full on. And I think his volume one of the Deadpool solo series, I think, is when that really starts in earnest. His origin story, especially his childhood, is a little muddled. There's about three different stories for it. Two of them tragic, one of them not tragic and just funny, I suppose, I guess. Intended to be funny, maybe. But either way, he's going to leave home eventually. He's going to join the U.S. Special Forces, where he is an excellently skilled soldier, but not a very good soldier, because he wouldn't follow orders that conflicted with his moral code, which is just really doesn't make sense for what this character would end up doing, you know, immediately. I don't really understand this part of the story. So this is going to send him into a big depression. He is going to attempt to remove himself from this world shortly after his 19th birthday. Thankfully, he's unsuccessful, and he will then be invited to join a clandestine CIA-sponsored mercenary group of assassins. But he's assured all of his targets will very much deserve it. So he's going to be in this group for a little while. Not a lot is known about it. He's going to have some fun in Japan, and that is and get involved with the Yakuza there. And that's going to be leading up to his first appearance. He'll get involved with the villain Genesis, known as Tolliver at the time. And this is going to be who hires him to assassinate Cable. And that will lead us into his first appearance. So Deadpool's going to receive these Weapon X powers. And while receiving these powers, he's going to meet up with Ajax, the cruel, cruel, cruel Ajax, known as the Butler at the time. This is going to kind of come into play for the next while. This will be the cruel, cruel, cruel Ajax, known as the Attendant at the time. This is going to be a pretty formative thing for Deadpool. He's essentially going to get tortured by Ajax and eventually escape with his newfound super duper healing powers. But what's going to kickstart these healing powers is this torture, right? Wade does not, I mean, he's living in hell at this point. He's being tortured daily by this just inhumane person at this military complex. But Ajax will not kill Deadpool. He wants his suffering to be over. Wade wants the suffering ended, but Ajax too cruel to do so. So as part of this cruelty, Ajax is torturing one of Deadpool's buddies as well. Deadpool will, at the behest of Death, the same Death that Thanos is in love with, right? We mentioned this in an episode not long ago, but Deadpool and Lady Death have a thing. Her other suitor in the mortal world is Thanos. So now little old Deadpool has a connection to Thanos. I think it's kind of awesome. Not going to lie. But you know something about characters that are in love with Death, and that is that there's a lot of death around them. Death will convince Wade to help his friend by killing his friend Worm. This goes against the rules of the place. So now Ajax will kill Deadpool because he's been given a reason and he has to. It's part of the rules, and lawful evil is still evil. So Ajax is going to rip out Deadpool's heart, and this is going to spark Deadpool's healing factor. So this is a bit inconsistent with most mutant powers and most healing factors, things like this. At this point, Deadpool is 20, 21 years old. It's very rare that mutant powers surface at this point in a life. And it's even more rare that they get kickstarted by a traumatic event at this point in life. So it's usually manifesting early from a traumatic event, like, you know, age 8, pre-puberty type stuff. So this is kind of the first major inconsistency with Deadpool that, you know, rules are being changed for this character, which honestly, it's comic books. I don't care about that, but it is worth noting. So having his heart ripped out is going to spark this in this just desire for revenge. I mean, Ajax is just terrible, 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 terrible. Deadpool is going to regrow his heart. He's going to escape. He's going to escape with all of his fellow patients out of this hospice facility, which is great. And this is going to lead to a mercenary time for Deadpool. So through this, Deadpool's going to become fairly popular for all the reasons we've mentioned. I mean, he's an anti-hero during the heyday of anti-heroes. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin is about to be the biggest thing pop culture-wise that just kind of goes to show how much the American public was into anti-heroes at this point in time. Deadpool being their favorite one in comic books. So Deadpool is going to get his first miniseries. It's going to be written by Fabian Nicieza and penciled by Joe Madureira. I'm sorry if I got any of those names wrong. I truly am. This is going to be the Circle Chase. So this is this first 4-issue miniseries, first self-titled miniseries for Deadpool. This is the one you've probably seen, black cover, kind of red embossed Deadpool, right? It's Dead and Pool, very large lettering, and then Deadpool kind of much smaller on the cover. So it's a mostly black cover, just says Deadpool, little tiny Deadpool there. Very, you know, pretty famous, a very striking cover. So in this miniseries is when, titled The Circle Chase, in this series is when we're going to start fleshing out Deadpool. We're going to be given some of his cast of characters that are going to be around him. And it is truly kind of disgusting. One of the folks, you know, his hostage slash kind of mother figure, Blind Owl, is a woman he's literally holding hostage. An older blind woman he's literally holding hostage. And he punishes her for making him upset. And the things that make him upset are, as you can predict, intended to be minor funny things that they're not funny. None of this is funny as intended. It's truly horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
To punish this old blind woman, he will lock her in a room full of knives that are, you know, taped and placed blade up, blade first. She can't see, so she's just running into sharp things. Isn't that hilarious? No, it's not. This is the kind of stuff, you know, and his buddy Weasel, whom he's just kind of constantly torturing and treating horribly. These are the people he considers his friends. You know, and it's presented a lot of times in the, especially these first two miniseries, this is all presented humorously, and his quips and jokes are supposed to be making you laugh. And this is the part of Deadpool I don't like. This is even worse than the LOL meme era for me.
Yeah, because he's softened then, right? In the LOL meme era.
Yes. Writers finally start to soften him, give him empathy, which is just, thank you.
Also, the correlation with his rise in general pop culture
mm-hmm.
has to be done, right? I mean, it should be, but...
I mean, he's pretty big early on. I mean, I remember when these comics are coming out, I was a huge enthusiast. I thought this stuff was so funny, but of course, I was also, 15 and an empathy-less teenage subhuman, right? What? I'm sorry to all the 15-year-old boys out there, but... You'll be human in a couple of years. But yeah, he's going to become huge during this time. And it rubs me the wrong way. I'm sorry. It's just tough. It's a tough read. It really is. Some of the art's really cool. Some of the fight scenes with Cable, and especially some of the early X-Force issues. I mean, they're really good. So there's a lot of good stuff going here. But at the end of the day, it's a character that's not paying for any of his misdeeds. He's doing bad things, and bad things are not happening back to him. We're just making jokes about it. And, you know, this does get rectified at points, but it's a little tough.
It's especially tough because I know this is 90s Marvel in its peak intensity and darkness and edginess, but 90s, early 2000s Marvel, excuse me. But to me, Chris, it still feels non-congruent with Marvel as a whole. And maybe the difference is, I give Blade a pass because Blade's universe is like a smaller universe within the Marvel universe. But the tough part about Deadpool for me, especially when it's this really not okay stuff early on, is that he's not in some like niche, tiny part of Marvel. You know, he's shown up a lot of places. He's shown up in important places in Marvel, like X-Men and X-Force.
That's right.
So that's one of the things that gives me pause.
Well, and I also think that that's one of his strengths, though, to be honest with you. He is different. And he is a good anti-hero. I just think that some of these writers
got really
wrapped up in the time and just, you know, just the general lack of empathy going on in pop culture during that time. Not to say that it was an evil, like, terrible time to be alive or anything. It just, this was one of the aspects of it, okay?
I think it's the mixing with comedy, right?
Yes.
Because you compare this to Blade or Spawn, and they don't have the comedy that this has.
I think that's really the thing that makes me feel kind of gross.
Yeah.
Is that we're doing these terrible things and they're presented as if I'm supposed to be laughing at them.
I completely agree.
It makes me feel gross. That's really just all it is. If you are someone that can separate that, like, I can't watch cringe comedy either, okay? It makes me feel gross. Even though there's some extremely talented and great cringe comedians out there, it's hard. It's a hard watch for me. Nathan Fielder being one of those people. That guy's awesome.
That guy's got a
and
talent.
I can't watch anything he does. Okay. He's awesome. He's truly so awesome. Talented. So take all of this with a grain of salt. I'm just trying to explain where I'm coming from so that it doesn't feel like I'm telling you not to like this character, because there's a lot of great things going on here. And let's start getting into some of those great things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1997, Deadpool is going to be given his own ongoing title, Volume 1 of Deadpool. This is also 97, the internet. We're getting it. It's coming, right? This is going to be the launch of the beginning of every Comic-Con has 40 Deadpool cosplayers, Deadpool backpacks, shirts about tacos and chimichangas everywhere, you know, things like this. This is all going to come here, because in 97, with this launch of the Deadpool ongoing series, we're going to start breaking the fourth wall a lot more. We're going to start doing more and more kind of random things. Deadpool's going to start gaining some empathy, still being an anti-hero, but it's less of a villain and it's more moral ambiguity and slapstick comedy, which resonated with a lot of folks. So what you're going to start seeing is every month, eventually, when this issue of Deadpool comes out, scans and pictures are going to start hitting the internet that day, sometimes the night before, when the, you know, as the comic book stores are packaging up the titles, you know, some of this stuff starts to leak. And it's just some of these zany panels of just absolute insane situations and costumes and very funny things. There's something memeable in every issue. And this is going to be what skyrockets Deadpool to popularity, because it's not everybody that's reading the comic. It's the people seeing all these hilarious panels and memes that are just going to launch him into popularity. So that's when we're going to start selling all these shirts. That's when every Comic-Con has 30 or 40 Deadpools. I mean, I play a game at Comic-Cons. It's count the Harleys and count the Deadpools. And you have to make a bet which you're going to see more of.
It's a great game. Yeah, it's a game of play at like concert halls with tribal tattoos, you know?
Yes.
You just have to make it.
It's one of these things.
Take a guess, yeah.
This is also going to be point when Rob Liefeld is suing Marvel over Cable and Deadpool, the creation of things like this. So how is that going to manifest in story? Well, we're going to get Agency X. And we're going to get Agent X. Deadpool is going to seemingly be blown to smithereens, because Marvel can't use him at the moment because there's a legal question. And we're going to get a new agency by a character that very may well be a Wade Wilson suffering from amnesia, but we're not sure. That character is going to be named Alex Hayden. He will begin Agency X. Hayden is essentially, at the beginning of this, Deadpool, with an X scar in his head, different costume and everything. And Agency X is just kind of mercenaries and private investigators to do whatever. So shortly after this, Deadpool will be back with Marvel. All legal questions will be answered. Deadpool will show back up, take over Agency X, and Agent X comic will be rebranded back to Deadpool. And then we're off to the races, because now it's time for Cable and Deadpool, everybody's favorite superhero duo, right? Cable and Deadpool are going to go on a ton of adventures. Cable cannot body slide without Deadpool body sliding with him. So they're kind of just stuck together through some machinations and comic booksing. Their DNA is kind of entangled. So they've got little pieces of each other with, you know, just forever tied together. They went from
disgruntled Cable.
yeah, which is just great.
Grumpy Cable.
Grumpy Cable's fantastic. So these two are going to have a lot of adventures. The title is going to run 50 issues. They will be, you know, unintertwined from each other. And Deadpool is going to just be showing up everywhere. Everywhere, everywhere. Most notably in the 2000s, I think, he's going to show a pretty big character shift and a big role in Secret Invasion. And he begins the Secret Invasion. He's abducted by the Skrulls, and he is being used by the Skrulls to teach them how to be a little bit more unpredictable, because they feel like that is their downfall. Every Skrull invasion is too predictable. Yes, they can get the powers of these various superheroes and fight these superheroes on even ground, and sometimes even with an advantage, but they can never overcome because they feel they're too predictable. So they kidnap Deadpool, force him to train. He will eventually find an escape. And after he escapes, he will immediately report to his pal, Nick Fury, about the Skrulls. Okay. So now Deadpool is showing here, he's working with S.H.I.E.L.D., right? So now we're moving into this mercenary with a moral code. You know, we've seen the good anti-hero mercenaries before, but now we're moving into someone who maybe wants to be a superhero. And that's going to be a theme throughout the rest of Deadpool's existence, is him attempting to be a superhero, trying to be a superhero, wanting to be a superhero. And sometimes he's better at it than others. And this is what I'm talking about, guys. We're barely into the 2000s here, and we're running up on the end of time for this segment, unless you want a 4-hour episode. So I'm going to really, really, really go quick through the rest of Deadpool's history here, unfortunately. But a lot of this is going to be based more around the publication history than it is what's actually happened. But I will touch on some of the bigger things. Being teamed with Cable and having released in the New Mutants brand, he's part of the mutant desk. He's got kind of mutant powers that are sometimes he's a mutant, sometimes they were given to him. But he's always tied with the mutants. So he's going to try to join the X-Men several times. He's going to team up, of course, with X-Force for a while, which is an excellent, excellent run. And you have to remember, during this time, he's appearing everywhere. He's fighting everybody. He has a really big clash with Carnage, in which he manipulates and overcomes four of the other symbiotes to help him beat Carnage. He's going to have run-ins with Thanos. Thanos will curse him with eternal life to keep him away from death, from Lady Death. Then Thanos will eliminate him and then bring him back. Because as you'll remember, Death is missing for a time. And when nothing can die, it turns out it's a really bad universe to live in. So Thanos has to resurrect Deadpool, who will then be the only mortal person in existence. And then he will help find Death, set everything to rights. Deadpool is going to play a massive role in the Axis storyline, where with everyone's moral compasses turned on their heads, thanks to a spell cast by the Scarlet Witch and Doctor Doom, Deadpool will become Zenpool, and he will become a kind of an anti-violence superhero, and he plays a major role in helping turn the tide against Apocalypse and the inverted Avengers. Deadpool will die in Deadpool issue number 250. But of course, this is happening during the Secret War event. So Deadpool will die at peace. He will find some peace and have content to die around loved ones that he's mended fences with and learned how to be a friend to instead of a tormentor and torturer. And then the convergence will happen. These two universes, the Ultimate Universe, 616, will be washed away, combined into one all new, all different Marvel universe. And what do you know? Deadpool's there. Deadpool's there, and he's joining the Avengers Unity Squad, which is a really fun run. And then we all know what happens after the Unity Squad. Bad Cap. Hydra Cap shows up. And of course, Deadpool, like most members of the Marvel 616 universe, idolize Captain America. Steve Rogers, he just is the best human. And Deadpool recognizes this and essentially becomes Steve's lapdog. And Hydra Steve will use Deadpool to great effect. Once Coulson starts to understand what's going on and suspect that Captain America is not in his right mind or is not the right Captain America, any of these things, evil Cap will convince Deadpool to take care of and assassinate Coulson. You know, this is something that Deadpool will regret for a very, very long time. Deadpool will be a major part of the Thunderbolts during this time. It's going to be majorly, as I said, plagued by guilt. And because of this guilt, there's more collateral damage in his life through this story. But because of this guilt, he's going to kind of turn his back on that life and kind of seek death again, which, like I said, is a very, very, it's a theme through Deadpool's comics. I mean, dead is part of his name. So, you know, it's not always for the kiddos, I would say, but it is a theme that you should be aware of when reading Deadpool, is that death follows him. He's literally in love with death. So it's going to happen. He will seek it out himself at times as well. There's one more thing I want to touch on before we move on from his history. And I have to, before we move on from his history, and that is the Deadpool Corps. Deadpool has to recruit various Deadpools from different dimensions to help defeat a foe and save the universe, of course. And that is going to lead to the creation of Lady Deadpool, Kidpool, Dogpool, and Headpool. Okay. These are all, well, I mean, come on, Dogpool's great. Headpool is very funny as well. He's from a dimension where, one of the Marvel zombie dimensions, right? Where all the heroes have been turned to zombies and he's just a Deadpool head now. And of course, Lady Deadpool, because you've got to have a lady version of every major hero because that's the world we live in. And they always have to be attractive comic books. So anyway, that is, in the time allotted here, that is the best I'm going to be able to do with Deadpool's history. I have to really stress that I left a ton out, and hopefully I can get to that on a different feed later, but there's just so much. This guy has been in every comic book since the late 90s, you know, since he really took off in popularity, and he's gone in these waves, like I said. The first wave of the Merc with a Mouth, the Spider-Man, empathyless Spider-Man Wolverine ripoff that is just doing horrible things and making jokes about it. Then the rise of the zaniness and the memes and chimichangas and tacos. And that's also the rise of the internet and his just burgeoning popularity in pop culture. And then in the 2010s, we see a little bit more of a mixing of the two characters. We find that in between of a little bit of seriousness and a little bit of Merc with a Mouth assassin type stories with a little bit of serious gravitas, but we're retaining some of the zaniness of the 2000s that led him to such wild, wild popularity. So these are the phases of Deadpool. Like I said, there is so much. There's just so much. He's been married 3 times. He's got 3 or 4 people that he's been fused with. Consciousnesses have resided in his head to keep that person from dying. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. he's been an X-Men. He's been in X-Force. He's been kicked out. He's been in the 616. He's been reviled. He's been celebrated. There is an evil version of Deadpool that happened through a lot of these machinations of teleporters and things getting merged and separated and whatnot. Just tons and tons of zany stuff. But the important thing I want you guys to really, really remember is that this guy is the continuation of that tradition that was started with She-Hulk and is continuing on with Gwenpool now, a little bit of Squirrel Girl, but this breaking the fourth wall, talking to the reader, understanding that they're in a comic book. Deadpool is the kind of peak of that whole thing. And he's a lot, man. He's Deadpool. He's been everywhere.
100%. He has been everywhere and probably will continue to do so because now he's had very successful movies. And we'll talk about it in the MCU real quick because Deadpool 3 is on the way and that's going to be the full tying together of the MCU and all this Sony Fox stuff together.
And can I just say, there are exactly 3 Marvel Fox movies I like. Deadpool 1 and 2 are 2 of those 3. I assume there will be 4 when Deadpool 3 hits, but the third being Logan. But yes, Deadpool 1 and 2 is very good. Ryan Reynolds saved this character. And I mean, I'm sure you know this story. I think most of our listeners know this story, but just to touch on it, that movie had not been greenlit and I'm 90% sure it was Ryan Reynolds, leaked the movie and leaked the screen test for the suit.
Yeah.
And things like that. Fox wasn't going to do it. And then someone, director, producer, or Reynolds, leaked this screen test and leaked the movie to various internet sites, you know, very nerdy internet sites. And the response was so massive that Fox had no choice but to make the movie. And even then, they didn't expect it to do well. Mm-hmm. They expected X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is the first movie Deadpool appears in. And also the worst movie that came out of the Fox, maybe the worst movie. I don't know. They gave us a lot of bad movies with their Marvel stuff. So,
but it's definitely one of the worst.
It's pretty bad. And the portrayal of Deadpool in that one is absolutely nonsensical, has nothing to do with the comic book Deadpool at all. They took the Merc with the mouth and took away his mouth. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. Anyway, so Ryan Reynolds gets Deadpool 1.
Oh yeah,
made in the first place,
and now he's an executive producer of 2 and 3, and it's his money. It's his money, and he's making it happen.
He is. Well, none of this success would have happened without him going on that limb and honestly just strong arming the studio into making the movie. So he deserves all the success that comes from this movie. He truly does. It wouldn't have happened without him. And honestly, he is Deadpool. It's a lot like Tony Stark is Robert Downey Jr. You know, right. It just is. So big ups to Ryan Reynolds. And I really do quite like the portrayal of Deadpool in the movies.
Okay. Well said. Yeah. They are some of the best Marvel movies out there. That's a wild thing to say. And it is kind of insane that not only are Deadpool 1 and 2 and Logan clearly some of the best Fox movies, but they're just some of the best Marvel movies that come out in the last couple of decades.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Logan being the best, in my opinion.
Logan's the best comic book movie ever made. It's that or Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Yeah, that's a conversation for another time, but yeah, I would agree. Those are in the top threshold.
We should do that conversation, though, sometime.
Yeah, we were already having one off mic one time because I'm a big fan of the Nolan Batman films as well. And Chris and I started having a conversation. We're like, we need to shelve this for another time.
I think we'll have to we'll definitely have this conversation on After Dark.
We have similar and differing opinions on this, which is great. Very soon. But yeah, Logan being the top and these Deadpool movies being right behind it and, you know, very well made movies, excellent portrayal of the character and all the other characters that pop up. That's the greatest part to me is not only did they nail Deadpool, but they nailed what worked for me even more was the second movie and just everybody from X-Force showing up and everybody being perfectly cast and just giving it their all. And Zazie Beetz as Domino and Josh Brolin as Cable. And it's just like unreal.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead for me, dude.
Oh, of course.
Sorry.
And number one. But, yeah.
And honestly, sorry. I'm riding high off the heels of Dune 2, my guys. Josh Brolin rules.
That guy's
such a good actor.
It's insane. Yeah.
He's, oh my gosh. Gurney Halleck forever, dude.
Gurney Halleck forever. Absolutely. So it's good stuff. And though they're not like, you know, the Deadpool aesthetic and comedy and all that, like, just doesn't work for me personally as much, but those movies started pulling me a little bit more towards it, even though some of it definitely doesn't work for me in the movies. And it's just too edgy for me, and that's completely fine. I'd rather have my edge be like the edge in Logan, right? It's just a different type of flavor of intensity. And I'd rather have, yep, I'd rather have high drama, that level intensity, than, you know, a super inappropriate joke that barely makes the cut for the movie because of the rating system and stuff, you know. And that's just to each their own.
The edge for edge's sake doesn't do much for me, but I do recognize its use in society as, you know, stand-up comedian fan, you know.
Absolutely.
I think sometimes that line gets crossed when trying to skirt that edge, but I think it serves a purpose in society. So I'm not saying it should be gone, but it's not always for me, just like cringe comedy.
Well, and a big part of it's Ryan Reynolds is he's kind of softening the edge because he's so charismatic.
He's a very talented guy when it comes to that kind of stuff.
It just works.
He understands a lot about where the line is, how far he can go, and the way he needs to have his voice do things when he does hit that line. He's very talented.
Absolutely. So Deadpool, absolutely, in the MCU, and soon to be Deadpool 3, and some sort of tie-in with the greater MCU at large, and the TVA, and the Sacred Timeline. Very excited.
I'm excited. So let me hit these comic book recommendations, and then we're going to get into strategy, because there's a lot to talk about with him on the MCP table, too.
Absolutely.
So not a ton of recommendations here. Deadpool is literally everywhere. Read whatever you want. But here are my favorite things of his from this, the favorite new things I'd read. And that's a very specific storyline, and that's Deadpool Volume 3, Issues 15 through 19. This storyline is going to be called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and I think it is mostly very good. The next thing I would recommend, and this one is just purely fun, it's not even canon, so it's not often I recommend non-canon books on this show. I think this might be the first time. But it's Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. Yeah, it sounds a little edgy, but it's just a super, super fun read. It's well done. Like I said, it's not canon, so we're not sure if this Hulk popping the head and the head regrowing is something that can happen in the 616, but close enough. It's a good fun read.
And it might be pulled from for Deadpool 3, so you might be prepping yourself, because I don't know what's happening in Deadpool 3. No one does, but it could be something along the lines of this very meta where our world's at, and the merging of the IPs and the companies, and Deadpool killing characters and branches. So that could very, very well be a canon MCU event going forward, because, you know, we know that the MCU is its own 616, you know, it's its own thing.
It's its own universe, yeah.
Absolutely. So very good, Chris. Well, let's jump right into Deadpool, into Marvel Crisis Protocol in our strategy segment. His name is Deadpool. His alter ego, of course, is Wade Wilson. He is a three threat character with defenses of 3 physical, 3 energy, 4 mystic, size 2, small base, medium mover. And his stamina is a little wonky. On his front side, it's 4. On his backside, it's 6. Rather than giving him the traditional 5-5, he's loaded on the back, which I absolutely love, because he does have a superpower that flips the whole concept of having a low health pull on the front on its head. You just love to see it. And get all pretense out of the way, he is healthy on both sides of his card, which is a superpower we will cover very soon. So think less about his health pull on the front and back, and just more about he's going to be contesting both sides.
Correct.
Now, the negative of that is you can blow him away on his front side very quickly, but then the backside, he gets dramatically more tanky. This combination of 6 stamina, good defenses, and healing factor 2.
He and Wolverine are the only healing factor 2 characters we have.
Yeah.
It is very powerful. I also really appreciate that they gave him a 4 mystic defense, because that is a very, very prominent thing in the comics due to his insane healing factor. He is very tough for the mystic folks to get into, on top of being insane.
Yeah, and AMG's represented that a lot in the past, whether it be on one end of the spectrum where it's the Winter Soldier and it's a lower mystic defense, or all the way to all these Russians in Omega Red that have trained in the Red Room, and they're all four up, you know, that sort of thing. So I like it. It makes a lot of sense, but let's get right into his card, because he does have three attacks, which are all physical attacks. The first of which being stab with his swords. It's range 2, strength of 5, power cost of 0. It's his builder attack. He's going to gain power equal to damage dealt. And he has a difficult trigger to get. Stab, stab, double wild. After the attack is resolved, Deadpool may make another stab attack. The additional attack must target the original character, but the additional attack does not have the stab, stab special rule. So if you're feeling lucky, you want to gamble, you can get a free attack action. Essentially, if you get that wild trigger, which is very cool.
Two wilds is tough to do in 5 very dice tough. For sure, but that's really nice.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, it gives you choice, because his second attack is a gainer, and you're really asking yourself, how much power do I need? Do I want? Do I want to risk it? Do I want to try to get more power? Things like that. Or do I want to get more damage, maybe?
I always like more damage. His second attack, this is going to be his gainer. It is Bang. Range 4, strength 4, power cost of 0. After the attack is resolved, Deadpool gains 1 power. On a wild and a hit, you will trigger Bang Bang. After the attack is resolved, Deadpool may make another Bang attack. The additional attack must target the original target character, and it does not have the Bang Bang special rule. So we have 2 attacks that get you second attacks on pretty tough triggers.
Yeah, he's kind of like a rapid fire character on both of his attacks, but his rapid fires are harder to get off than the other rapid fire characters. So, you know, that's cool. I also mentioned while we're here, Chris, of course, we are discussing the errated, updated, improved, all new Deadpool. And I say that because the game's always in flux. I love how AMG approaches this game. They're always improving things. But Bang has changed dramatically. Bang used to be not a gainer, but the Bang Yahtzee factor kept going and going and going. And so this version is much better, because at worst, you're always going to get a power and the attack's going to end or something because you didn't get the bang. And at best, you're going to bang, bang, and you're going to get 2 power and get 2 4 dice attacks. And then additionally, you still have an action left to maybe do it again or move somewhere else, things like that. So it gives him a lot of agency in what he can do. And, you know, I like this version much better, because turns out power gain for Deadpool is a game changer.
Before the errata, he was one of the least played characters in the game.
Now he's one of the most.
Now then they gave him this gainer, changed Bang, did a couple of things, and he is truly an awesome 3 to play with. He's just super fun. I have a great time every time I play Deadpool. He always hits the table when I play X-Force. I mean, he's part of the core. So let's talk about his Spender attack. I really, truly do like this attack a lot, and I will tell you why. It is Duodenum Poke, range 2, strength of 6, power cost of 3. Not looking too special yet, but we'll get there. After this attack is resolved, if the attack deals damage, the target character gains bleed and slow. I love this because I love slow. Putting slow on, being able to put slow on characters at demand is huge. This isn't quite at demand, you have to get a damage through, but on 6 dice, that's a pretty decent bet that you're going to get a damage through. So being able to throw bleed and slow on characters is fantastic. In an affiliation like X-Force that's lacking a lot of conditions outside of incinerate to throw on its opponents. So I think this is a really, really good tool for X-Force.
Yeah, LP guarantees some stuff, right? And it's a good way to dump power. Now, what's interesting is this is his weakest spender, because on the back, when he's hurt, his spender changes to one of his most popular lines, maximum effort, and it completely changes. So we'll get to that shortly. So this is one of those things. How often are you going to do it? I'm not sure, because Deadpool has such a small front end of health.
Not very often. And like I said, it's not an attack you're looking to get damaged through with. It's 100%, you just need to slow that long mover.
Which I love the slow.
Having that tool in your toolkit, I think, is fantastic. I probably overstate things like this, because this is an attack you're not even going to use every game. It's really nice.
Speaking of something he's going to use all the time, Chris, Merc with a Mouth, reactive superpower, cost 3 power, very high cost, but for good reason. Choosing a character within range 3 of Deadpool, it loses 2 power. A character may be affected by the superpower only once per round, so keep in mind, you can spread it around if for some reason you had like 9 power and you could affect multiple characters as long as you don't double dip at all.
I love Merc with a Mouth. It is incredibly effective. My last game with X-Force, I just completely neutralized Psylocke the entire game because with Merc with a Mouth, she never had the power. She only got her, she only added her dice and got her short movement once the entire game, which was incredible. All thanks to Deadpool. Merc with a Mouth is very, very good. It is pricey, which is why Bang is so important. Being able to get that guaranteed 1 power is massive when you're trying to get Merc with a Mouth off or when you're trying to get this next superpower off. It is an active superpower. You can't spell legendary without leg day.
Mm.
It's going to cost you 2. Place Deadpool within 2 of its current location. The superpower can only be used once per turn. So, range 2 place. We're getting a little gamma leap here with Deadpool.
Body slide, yeah.
And this is going to allow him to double tap a lot more. This is going to allow him to get up into stab range and duodenum poke range and be able to get 2 attacks off instead of move and attack, right? We know that this is extremely powerful in this game. So now it's a question of where am I spending all this power?
Yeah, it's very hard to do.
Two awesome, awesome superpowers that you honestly want to use every turn if you can.
Yeah, this is why the spender's just not coming into play.
Exactly.
Especially on this front side. So yeah, let's close out his innates and then we'll maybe talk about some of these superpowers in an overview. So I know karate, it's innate. Deadpool may reroll 1 attack, 1 die, and its attack and defense rolls. Phenomenal. I mean,
great.
He's Zemo for himself, right? Just
well, it's yeah, it's the X-23 assassin training, right?
Of course. It's just always good. It is gives him so much more consistency, especially when he's getting these rapid fires off. Like, let's say he does get his bangs off. His potential to spike is so, so much higher. And continuing on, he also has another innate superpower, unicorns, rainbows, and sugar plums dancing through my head. This character cannot be pushed or advanced by effects from mystic attacks or enemy superpowers. He cannot be bowed. He cannot be advanced by Emma's advance.
No scalpel.
No, he can be scalpeled.
He can be scalpeled. My bad, everyone.
Because scalpel is a place, but
you're right.
Push or advance, you're just not moving him with move effects. And in a world where Ultron's now here to stay, Ultron 2.
Oh, he's here in a big way.
And he just says, move away from me. Deadpool says no. And closing out his card, we have an innate superpower, healing factor 2. We already went over it earlier, but he's the same as Wolverine and Logan. So now we have 3 models in the game with healing factor 2, which is not very much out of our entire massive gambit of pushing up on 200 characters in this game. So
wild.
You know, I think this is an insanely powerful front side. But let's talk about Merc with a Mouth and Leg Day real quick as Chris was referencing them. So Merc with a Mouth might be one of the most powerful superpowers in the entire game outside of, you know, size 4 throws and stuff, right? Which we know right. Is just the best superpower in the game is being able to throw size 4 characters in terrain. And very few characters have that. But this Merc with a Mouth, it can completely change everything. I mean, it can, it's one of those situations where you can see a Black Cat about to steal. You can see a Malekith about to charge. Like these massive game-changing superpowers, you can just say, no, I'm taking that away. And then the problem is if they start dealing with Deadpool and he doesn't die because you used exceptional healing or something, he can go next round and do it again, right? So they lose both ways. It is the Peter Parker effect in a different way. You know, Peter's got the witty banter.
How fitting.
Yeah, and Deadpool's got this more like, I suck your power ability, and Peter's got the, I mess up your dice. So it is just a game-changing ability, and you cannot sleep on it. And it's the same with Leg Day, where it's game-changing because it's the difference between getting Deadpool back on a point after he got pushed. It's, you know, the difference of maybe Deadpool moving and then placing with his body slide, and then getting to a point that he didn't think he could get to. It's, as Chris said too, the fact that you can guarantee round 2 onward, potentially, for sure, 2 bangs and a Leg Day, it's never bad, right? And we talked about it with Gwynpool recently, too.
Yes. Yes, we did. It is a very, very effective play pattern. The only problem being you're not going to have a ton of power from Merc with a mouth. And that's a pretty decent problem to have.
Yeah.
Because you're doing a lot of stuff here. I mean, you're moving, you're contesting. And I want to say on his backside, we have two changes. I'm going to talk about one of them right here. It's an innate power. All right, now it's serious. Deadpool always counts as healthy instead of injured for the purposes of contesting objectives. Additionally, this character may reroll one die in its attack and defense rolls, right? So it just wraps up that assassin's training into counting as healthy. So where Wolverine on his backloaded backside doesn't count at all,
mm-hmm.
Deadpool counts as healthy. This is massive.
Yeah, Logan counts only on secures. He cannot interact with anything. He can't pick up extracts. But yeah. It is cool how they've just encapsulated this grit of these Weapon X people.
I love it. It's really, really good. So now you're on your backside, you're moving. Even if your bangs aren't getting damage off, you're getting two attacks off every turn and you're repositioning yourself and constantly contesting objectives with this healing factor too. So they've pretty much got to spike you to get you off the table. He's a very annoying three threat to deal with. And with him in your arsenal, he's someone that can just accomplish a lot of different things.
Absolutely. I totally agree there. And you mentioned he had two changes. Let's talk about the second change, Chris, which is his spender gets upgraded to maximum effort, range 2. Now it's strength of 7. Now it's a power cost of 4. But he gets a wild trigger of Dance Party. After the attack is resolved, Deadpool may advance short. After this advance, each other character, so including allies, within 2 of Deadpool suffers 1 damage. But then this character gains 1 power for each damage dealt this way. This is his spinning. He's running through. He's spinning with the swords.
And it's a great way to recoup some of that 4 power you just spent.
For sure. And do a lot of pings and tee people up.
And pings are really, really nice in this game.
Unblockable damage, right? Or damage you don't roll dice against. So what's cool about the maximum effort is he could be attacking someone in front of him who's pretty healthy in the way of stamina, but then he could move past them and then maybe finish a kill on someone who's
teed
up. I was
going to say, it's really great for those characters that have 1 health left and you just can't get through those defenses. To us. It happens to everybody that plays this game, right?
Right.
So things like this, you know, being able to throw them into someone to deal an auto damage, things like that are just extremely powerful in the middle rounds of the game.
Absolutely. And it is helpful for him too, because he doesn't have any throws or anything. Of course not. Yeah. So this is his way of dealing like guaranteed damage or, you know, things without saves. Yeah. And he still has healing factor 2, but now he has 6 stamina. So the healing factor 2 really gets compounded. And this is also the side I think you want him to be on. Now you use exceptional healing, right? It's just a problem for your opponent. Like now they don't know what to do because he is counting as healthy, right? Which is massive. And we'll talk about that with his teams coming up, but it's a great character card, Chris. He's got a little bit of everything. He's mainly an attrition character with the addition of leg day. He does have some movement to score and stuff now, which he didn't have before.
I think the most important part of his changes are that he's just extremely fun to play now.
Right, which he always should have been. It's Deadpool.
He always should have been. Even if he wasn't good, he should have been fun. And he wasn't. But he is now, so everyone rejoice. And it also happens, he's really good.
Bob's fun too, so just pick up this box if you want to have a lot of
Seriously.
Fun.
Yeah. No, Bob's annoying, not fun.
Every time I bring him up, I love it so much.
Well, if Kyle would quit killing me with Bob every time I play him.
And then you can't kill Bob. Yeah.
No, he's just always there.
He's unkillable. But how? So let's move on to Deadpool's cards before we get into our affiliation corner, starting with Chimichangas, which I think might have a place in this new meta, which we can talk about coming up. But
good.
Unaffiliated, active. So of course, this can be played anywhere Deadpool decides to go, any team. Deadpool may spend 1 power to play this card. Add a Chimichanga token asset to the game. Deadpool is holding this token. At the end of a character's activation, if it is holding the Chimichanga token, it gains 1 power and may remove 1 damage or 1 special condition. Any character may use the following interact ability. Interact, pick up the Chimichanga. So I've
always loved this card. I've played it a lot. I've played Deadpool with criminals with this card. A lot of fun synergy with the criminals because they can pass assets between themselves willy-nilly. I think the only reason we don't see a lot of this card is it takes up one of your five spots. I think this very could easily be in your 10 if you are a Deadpool player. And the tough part of it is this hot potato that your opponent can take from you. And that is scary.
But it's fun, right? We've got this Chimichanga token on the board that
it's
now
the epitome
is
of fun.
Distracting your opponent. Where is it going? And of course, if he plays this card on his front side, he's only got the 4 health before he has to drop the Chimichanga, not to mention if someone steals it.
Scary. So
it's I love it. I don't
him healing factor 3, which is madness.
Madness. So yeah, if you don't kill him in one go or daze him on his front side, he's just healing all of it off. It's wild.
I think the best use of this is actually in a team that can pass tokens or cards.
Absolutely.
That can move stuff around. Because I think you actually want to get it off Deadpool.
I've wanted to run this in X-Force before, but there's just no way to guarantee to get it to the character you need it on. You know, putting this on Cable, keeping him alive, giving him that healing factor.
Crazy.
Putting this on Domino, put it on X-23, give her healing factor 2. This is all and power to be able to use your spender every turn. Yeah, it's really, really great. But how do you get it there? The only way I can really think of at the moment is throw Deadpool up into it and have mission objective ready.
Right. It's also very tough, too, because it removes your round one play as well. Mm-hmm. Essentially, Deadpool is not picking up an extract round one if he's choosing to play this card round one. So that's a factor you need to factor in your turn 0 as well. You're like, I'm bringing the Chimichanga and Deadpool's going to get a side hammer. No, he's not. Or you're not doing the Chimichanga, right? So you've got to plan, but I think it's really fun. It is one of those things. I don't think your opponent gets a massive upside for taking this. And if you're X-Force, you can easily. I mean, X-Force is the top attrition team in the game right now after Guardians. You can easily just take it back from them. You can just remove that model. But it adds a mini game to the game, which is really fun. And
it's something more for your opponent to think about, too, which is always a good thing. Trying to confuse the opponent and trying to give them too many things to be able to handle. And then you go with the one they can't handle or the one they decide to not handle. And it's a fun way to play.
I also love that this card has been in the game so long now. And it paved the way for the dossier.
Absolutely. I love the dossier. You know that.
And the dossier is just like this on steroids.
I don't win with the dossier, but I love the dossier.
I mean, it's the dossier to me is the Weapon X leadership.
It's so good.
Like that's the actual leadership.
Apex with the dossier is just insane.
Deadpool with the dossier, madness. Long move Deadpool where he's banging wherever he wants.
I just like long move Apex.
Oh yeah, star. Of course. Well, let's talk about Deadpool's other card, which is also unaffiliated and active. It's called Yoink. It has a lot of things going on.
Another fun card.
Yes, absolutely fun. During Deadpool's activation, he may spend 2 power to play this card. Now you get to select one of the following effects. If an allied Cable is within range 2 of Deadpool, place Deadpool within 2 of his current position. If an allied Domino is within 2 of Deadpool, Deadpool may use the grenade bounce attack listed on her stat card once this activation without paying a power cost. If an allied Wolverine that is holding an objective token is within 2 of Deadpool, place one objective token held by Wolverine onto Deadpool. Deadpool is now holding the token. This team tactic card does not allow you to hold more tokens than the crisis specifies. Last but not least, if an enemy, Bob, is within 2 of Deadpool, you may remove any number of loaded rocket tokens from Bob.
I love that.
Options.
So many. Well, it's the Bob and the Wolverine ones that make me think the most because the Wolverine one seems useful. The Bob one, I just don't. Bob's annoying. Take that loaded token away and I'm a happy guy.
The Wolverine one's interesting because it's an allied Wolverine, but I do love that it's like, oh, Wolverine killed someone. He took their hammer or whatever, or he took their asset. Just throw that back to Deadpool, you know, and let Wolverine keep diving in. Right. So it makes a lot of sense. I really do. I think the biggest gain of this is the Cable because you get a double leg day turn.
Yeah. Double leg day. That's 4 power, but that's two places that you're getting wherever you want to be, baby.
Yep. So though I think this card is less viable than the Chimichanga in more of a competitive sense, absolutely fun to play on the table. And if you're intending to play Cable, Domino, Wolverine, and Deadpool in most of your games. Why aren't you trying this, right?
Absolutely. I think you should at least try this in X-Force. Don't bring it to a tournament unless you're gotten really good at a specific play, probably using Wolverine and tossing that back. But
right.
Otherwise, yeah, it's a very fun card, very flavorful card with lots of options. So always fun to bring and just see how you can use it. What weird way is it going to affect the game?
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun cards lately, Chris, especially with Squirrel Girl and Gwenpool, and Deadpool's keeping this trend going. I mean, these probably are the epitome of kitchen table cards, but at the same time, they're strong cards, and if you know what you're doing, they can do something really big in a game.
Absolutely.
Well, that's Deadpool's card and his tactics cards. We have to move on to our affiliation corner. Starting with Deadpool's affiliations, what is he tied to? And then we'll talk about places we can splash him. First of all, Chris, he's an Avenger, and he's a really good Avenger because whether it's under Steve, Sam, even Mighty Steve now, he's got options. They all help him out in different ways. And what do you know? He's a strong three-threat character in a good affiliation. That's really the biggest part.
That's huge. He's in two really good affiliations right now. But yes, he's viable for all of those leaders in Avengers. He's extreme. Like I said earlier, he should be on the table for every X-Force game you play, I think, until you are a master of X-Force. And a master of X-Force would not be listening to me for X-Force advice. So yes, early on, especially, just do not play a game without him, straight up. He's the new X-23 when it comes to that.
100%. And even Avengers players are playing him left and right everywhere because, you know, he brings something that even Iron Man and Luke Cage don't bring. And there's just situations where you maybe want one or the other, right? And so in a Sam team where you're swarming the board with your three threats, I mean, he fits right in. With a Steve team, I mean, this leg day and Merc with the Mouth for one discounted is just insane, to be honest. And a lot of people are playing Cable now in Avengers again because Cable's always been good in Avengers, and now with the Cable buff, there's these combinations of Cable's shields and Deadpool's Merc with the Mouth and Leg Day under Steve, where it just cannot be understated how powerful these abilities are regularly, and then with a discount, really starts stacking up. So Avengers, he's a great spot. As Chris mentioned, he has two more teams where he's an integral piece. I mean, Weapon X and X-Force, you're just playing him every time.
Yeah.
He's in your 10 of both those teams.
So while I was playing Weapon X heavy, I did not have the errata Deadpool. So I have yet to even play him in that affiliation, which hopefully I will change that before we go to Adepticon. But yes, he brings something much needed in Weapon X. And that is another good three threat. I know that there's all the three threats in that faction are very good, but they just lack having a lot of them, right? It's a very narrow faction. Adding a three threat that is not only viable, but a top tier three threat that works into exactly what they want to do and brings a little bit of extra with that power deniability, with the movement shenanigans, he's very good there.
Yeah, it's super cool that you can just start building your Weapon X rosters and you can just go Deadpool, X-23, Domino, and Logan.
Yep.
You're only at 13 points then, so you've got room to play with. You could throw a fourth credit.
Incredible core.
Yeah, just a really good core. And, you know, even crazier there, you can even cut Logan and make Laura your leader, right? And go even wider if you want to. So there's options there. Yeah, it's really good. So the irony is Weapon X and X-Force are almost interchangeable with their characters. So most often you're going to see a Weapon X Force, right? So it's going to be some combination of
the tactics cards get really tough.
Yeah. If you want all the Weapon X stuff.
Yeah. So there are a lot of tactics cards trade-offs you have to make to do that, because you have to have Cat and Mouse. You probably have to have Pretty Sneaky Sis. And of course the Weapon X affiliation leadership is a tactics card, so you've got that tax anyway. On top of, you're going to want the Weapon X only, as we talked about earlier, dossier. So we've got four cards that are auto includes, and half of them only work for one of your two leaderships there. So it's the tactics card tax for doing Weapon X Force is very, very real. But if you can figure that out, it is extremely good.
Yeah, because you can have, if Cable's just not going to work on a certain threat, I mean, you can just easily switch to Logan or Laura, yep. right? And give yourself so much more flexibility. But speaking of X-Force, Deadpool has even edged out Domino these days. Not that Domino's edged out. She's absolutely still there.
She's killer.
I think him and Laura are the first go-tos probably. Now, what's interesting about that is Domino is the tankiest of all of them in her just crit mitigation and things like that. So there's just different scenarios for all of them. But, you know, the lore is working, Chris, where it's like Cable and a bunch of these three threats on the table. And
yes. And on top of that, Deadpool has very heavily involved Domino throughout his history, whether it be Domino herself or copycat impersonating Domino. She's just all over, especially in those early New Mutants and X-Force issues, you know, with Liefeld at the helm. And later on when Liefeld leaves and they're still wrapping up those storylines and things, just Domino's everywhere. And which is cool because Domino rules.
Domino absolutely rules. And I'm so happy to see her in Deadpool too. That was a nice touch. So let's get into Deadpool's splashes, Chris, before we close this episode out. And starting with, I think, one of the strongest and the place I've actually played Deadpool the most personally, especially in his old incarnation, is the Criminal Syndicate under Kingpin. And even the Criminal Syndicate under now MODOK and or Claw. Deadpool being healthy on both sides, you cannot be understated how powerful that is for criminals.
I feel like that's one of the better characters for Claw on paper.
Yeah, just a guy that gets out there, fights, and he dies.
He dazes pretty quick. He's probably going to daze round two, and that just helps Claw. So, and you don't mind if he dazes. That's the thing. That's the thing that works well with Claw. Deadpool dazes. Maybe he gets better. He's now powered up, and he still counts on securing objectives as a healthy character. So I think he's tailor-made for that splash, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Kingpin, he's a problem in Kingpin because you don't want to flip Deadpool, but then you're like, well, flip me. And then I'm still counting, and I'm getting this powerful leadership through Kingpin. So there's so many layers to it, and it's absolutely amazing, frankly. And it's one of those things where it's bread and butter. And then if you want to get fun with it on top of that and even maybe get some powerful plays with rewards in it, I mean, you can play the Chimichanga as well because the criminals can pass tokens between each other at will. And you can really easily pass that around and your opponent's not going to get a hold of it, right? Which is a very cool layer to that, which I think was essential. Also, one of those things too where I like running Lizard and criminals a lot. And if you already have one healing factor person, the efficacy of exceptional healing goes up so much if you have two of them on the board. So it actually gives you even more viability to try that if you can meet affiliation requirements.
I'm gonna miss exceptional healing.
Right?
So
me
much.
Me too. Hopefully it's here to stay for a while though, but time will tell. Now, let's think a little bit off the beaten path. Is Deadpool great in Hellfire? Yes. Yes, he is. Because having kind of that power on demand to kind of set up his Merc with the Mouths and his leg days before he goes, as long as he's on a point, meeting the requirements of Emma. Like, let's say you start your round off with, you know, an Emma activation or something, you trigger Hellfire immediately. This is round two. Well, now Deadpool's like set up to immediately leg day or something like that on the round. I think it's really good. I think it's worth exploring, but that keeps going. I mean, any sort of roster that gives dice fixing, he's really strong because as we talked about in this episode, his explosive nature of his dice is pretty high because he's got rapid fire effects and in a way, and he's also got the karate where he gets the rerolls. So if you can compound that with Wakanda rerolls, X-Force rerolls, like we've already talked about, Daredevil Defenders, if he's that deep in, but even rosters that provide what I call sub affiliation abilities, which is like the Hydra Cabal stuff where it's like you're playing Strucker and Zemo all the times. So you've got rerolls baked into your affiliation as a whole. He fits right into those places. So it's really annoying too, because he can just randomly be defensive, right?
Yeah.
With these rerolls from the teams and from his own innate card, and he can survive something that he's not supposed to survive. So I like that a lot. Outside of that, I mean, you can play him honestly anywhere. And he's one of those characters that just works where you want him to go. I mean, he's a strong, consistent, powerful three threat. Play him where you want. I mean, the only teams he's not really showing up in are teams that have a plethora of strong affiliated three threats. So he's not going to show up in a Web Warriors team just because they've already got so many great three threat choices and they're going to want to stick affiliated, right?
But if you really, really love Deadpool, you can still do it.
And I've seen people do it.
Yeah,
I've seen people do it. He's absolutely fine. It's just one of those things. Are you edging out your own models to bring him in, right?
Yeah, it's not always the most competitive choice to make. But like I said, if you want to do it, it's still going to be good. You still have the chance to win games. It's fine.
Absolutely. And it's like, do you love Deadpool? Do you want to play him in like a Mystique Brotherhood instead of a Gambit or Pyro, right? Absolutely. You could play him instead of Gambit or Pyro. And he's not affiliated, right? But he's going to work just as well in that Mystique team, which Mystique team wants to go around the board, score out, be a little wide. It works. He fits right into that team. And, you know, it just continues, Chris, where it's like any team that he can just slot in and turns out it's easy for him to slot in because he's a three threat character. It just works. So I say play him where you want. I mean, anywhere you want, it's going to work really well. I do think that the cool part about this character is he is absolutely best in Weapon X, X-Force, and Avengers just because if he's affiliated and they give him a lot of big upsides. But outside of that, I mean, we've seen this in the game time and time again. Luke Cage, Iron Man, Lizard, all these just consistent, strong three threats. You just play them where you want. And it's
a nice part of this game.
It is a nice part of this game, especially now that three threats are no longer the top dog, right? Like it's nice that you can always fall back on a random three threat.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I will just say quickly how it was a little bit annoying getting to this point, but I'm glad we're here.
The inverse of that is if we really look back with a open eye, it was a little bit annoying for a while where we were only getting three threats and that was the game, right? And so now, how far have we come?
It's just so much better.
Fours and fives are getting so much more time on the table. They just are.
Yeah. I remember early on playing a five threat was a kind of tough to do, just period.
Yeah.
And so now we're in this wonderful era of the normal model is just kind of a four threat. They're your workhorses. You know, they've got a little bit of everything. So you just bring the proper four threats and you build out around those, unless you're going with a kaiju list or something. But yeah, the years of four threat only releases were tough, but I'm glad we are where we are.
It's exciting. And the game's in a great spot. And Deadpool's proof of that. I mean, here's the irony, Chris. Two of the least played models in this game were Deadpool and Daredevil.
Isn't that wild?
And look at us now. They're probably two of the most played models at this very moment.
Both of the affiliations I play on the regular right now, I'm literally putting them on the table every game. I'm playing Deadpool or Daredevil every game.
So exciting. Yeah, yeah. X-Force and Defenders, right? I mean, they're just staples. So it's so exciting. It is what it is. And this was a fun episode to do, Chris, about Deadpool. And we'll probably return to him very soon because we've started a new series today. We've started discussing the Weapon X program as a nebulous lore event, but also the things that are adjacent to the Weapon X program and X-Force, of course.
It's going to be a very, very fun one.
He's going to pop up in other stories. We're covering.
He's absolutely going to pop up in other stories. And I mean, look, this is the beginning. This is my time to slam my hands on the table and say, give us Maverick, you cowards.
I knew you were going to say it. I love it. I love it.
Listen to me, AMG. Give us Maverick. Do it now. Do it.
That's going to be another episode in the bag. We got to tell you all the places you can support us and find us online. Of course, we cannot do the show without our wonderful patrons. You become a Furious Finest patron by going to patreon.com/FuriousFinest. Check out our tiers. It gets you instant access to the private Discord. It gets you bonus episodes of the podcast. It gets you access to the painting gallery with no name behind the scenes and the Fury Secret Wars League, which will be tied up very soon. And we'll be doing signups for a new league. So perfect time to jump in and get on the ground floor of that. Of course, you can find us everywhere online, several spaces. You can find us on X at Fury's Finest Cast and Instagram, Facebook, Twitch at Fury's Finest. And you can always email us at furiesfinest@gmail.com. And most importantly, if you maybe can't support us on Patreon or something, if you can thumb over and give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice, it really helps us out, keeps us going, and gets Marvel Crisis Protocol out to more people because visibility matters.
Absolutely, it does. And thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music. Like Jesse said, rate, review, subscribe. It is the easiest and most helpful things you can do for us, and we appreciate every one of you that do.
Absolutely. We got to tell all the places you can find me and Chris online, especially with us about to like leave as we speak for Adepticon. You can find us on different places. You can find me, Jesse, on all the same place at Jesse Aiken, JESSEEAKIN. That's all those social media places and Discord and Longshanks. And you can check out my Star Wars Shatterpoint show, Hello There, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast, everywhere podcasts can be found. And Fury's Finest and Hello There, I think we're going to be very busy in the next coming weeks because AMG blesses us during the Adepticon time. And so does the community, the competitive communities for these games, because we learn a lot about how the meta is developing for the brand new competitive year. So stay tuned for that. Chris, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Discord. I'm Strong Style. I'm Chris Finest in all of the MCP related Discords I'm in. Feel free to ping or message me anytime.
We hope you guys have enjoyed this episode of a big character in Marvel. He's going to pop up again very soon. I'm very certain of it, Chris. But until next time, thanks for listening, true believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
Ken Buck says you're wrong.